Welcome back to another episode of the Roblob Podcast with Andy, Cap, Coop, and Kenny. We don't have Cap today, just the others. And tonight we'll talk about Clifford the Big Red Dog, Milk, and Entrapment. Stay tuned. So the Huskies, the UConn Huskies, they're the reigning national champions in basketball. In football, the reigning champs will not be the Huskies. As an Ohio State fan, Kenny, Andy, you guys are Notre Dame fans. Man, Michigan?
I think we got it. I think we had this figured out, though. We're doing a two-year championship transitive. The TCU Horned Frogs are actually the multi-year champion.
So congratulations, Andy Dalton and the TCU Horned Frogs. Andy Dalton brings home the big one, the bearded ginger. It was always in the script. I mean, we always knew this would happen right when we drafted him.
Big day to be a Horned Frog.
Yeah, Texas Christian, it's amazing what happens when God's on your side. You know, watching that game last night or whenever it was, it's like Michigan knew what plays were coming.
Did I read something about that in the news?
Now that we
I did see something the other day, and I think that there's a, I don't know if it's, maybe it's just coincidence, you know, maybe it's, you know, there's a lot of different factors, but as soon as that stuff came out, their offensive production started steadily dropping for about 6 weeks and never went back up.
Yeah.
And since we're
I don't think
with
that's a good look.
Since we're bringing up the fact that the true way to decide as a 2-year transitive champion. So all last year they ran through everybody. Then all of a sudden, when there was a team that they played against that was not previously on their schedule, they did not know they were going to play this team when other games are going on. All of a sudden, they can't score. They can't move the ball. Their offense just goes to shit.
Yeah.
Coincidence? So, I think no.
So then you say Michigan title obviously is going to get vacated. So we can just wipe it out of the history books.
Does that mean we vacate the transitive championship from TCU? Does that banner stay?
No, that one stays. I can't get into it right now. It's pretty political, but that one's going to stay. And then I think that the big problem is that now I think the Florida State's going to be the champion 2024. So,
which
that starts
getting
into some murky water with TCU there. So, but I think that we'd say TCU champions 2023, Florida State champions 2024, Notre Dame champions 2025.
And hang the banners. That's an absolute Sharpie.
That's interesting. I never thought about it that way. All I know is like last night, you know, I drove home before the game was over because I didn't want to see Harbaugh and Blake Corum and JJ McCarthy holding the trophy with the maize and blue confetti. Like, to me, watching
real quick, what the fuck is maize?
It's
yellow.
Like corn. Yeah, I think it's literally named like orange is a color and a food. Same with maize. It's the same type of deal.
Okay. So can't we just like call it yellow?
Well, I think back in the day, like I think corn came before yellow is what I'm saying. Like they just called everything maize. And then it was probably like a new age thing where they're like, no, we'll just call that yellow. But watching all of that happen, it's like watching whoever your worst enemy is, like marry your ex-girlfriend or something. You know, you see like someone you just absolutely hate living your dream or what you thought was your dream at once. Like it's disgusting.
Yeah. And it's tough because I haven't had, I mean, other than the Cavs, right? The Cavs were in 2016. I'm not a huge Cavs fan. I'm not a huge NBA fan in general. But, around the time, the city was just so electric. You couldn't help but be a Cavs fan. And so, like, we went up there and we got to watch that happen. And, but no team that I ever truly love has ever won anything. Like, the Vikings never won a Super Bowl. The Notre Dame hasn't been good since the early 1900s. Like,
88 didn't exist.
right.
So you're
I
just
mean,
going to discount
Xavier
the NIT
obviously,
like
I
that?
was part of three of the deep turn, the Sweet 16 runs, but I've never seen them get past the Elite Eight. Like, it's just it sucks to watch a team that you truly hate to win. Like, I wouldn't care if Ohio State won because I know people that like Ohio State, and those are people that are my friends and my family.
Thank you.
I can't stand Michigan fans in general. Like, I don't like the fact that the Steelers got into the playoffs. Like, that really gets to me. Like, that kind of stuff,
Yeah, no,
You
I
Coop's
get it
absolutely right.
100%.
This
You
is
could
like
call
a.
me, I think what they call me is a hater.
See, Coop, you're exactly right. This is exactly like a CentOS Center usher marrying your ex-girlfriend. I'm seething.
I hear rumors that a guy named Randy Picarillo is applying for an usher. I saw an application slide across a desk. We'll see if that gets any traction, but.
Well, there are actually 17 applications. Randy picked 1 through 17, so there's a 50-50 chance he gets the job.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I mean, it's you'd think they'd be honored. It's hard to hire people these days, but Kenny, you say you've never seen a team that you love win a national championship, but a team that you love and you played for won a transitive national championship just last year.
Right. I
Xavier
mean,
beat you twice last year.
And I think that that plays really well into this conversation that we're going to have about the game tomorrow. I don't know when this recording's coming out, so maybe tonight,
It's yeah,
tomorrow, tonight,
the
I don't
game's
know.
tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, the game's tonight, right?
AM or PM?
No, but it's going to be interesting to watch this because they win the championship last year, and Xavier was very successful against them. And last year, when you remember when you watched Xavier play, their offense was incredible. Their defense was non-existent. So I just look at it this year. I think that our team plays better defense this year than we did last year. And if we're able to get guys to step up and really play well tomorrow, I don't think that there's any way or any reason that Xavier can't compete with them. I think Xavier could get beat by 30. But you look at the way that Xavier played Houston and Purdue, both of those games, until there was about 5 or 6 minutes left, it was a close game. And if Xavier's able to continue on that effort for 40 minutes rather than 36 minutes, then who knows? Maybe we have a chance to win the game tomorrow. And I really want to see them keep building on the momentum that they've had, not necessarily with the results, but the way that they've been playing together as a team.
For sure. And like, if you ask me, like, there are three possible results that have a 50-50 chance of happening. So it'll be either a UConn blowout win, a UConn close win, or a Xavier close win. We're obviously not going to blow them out. They're too good of a team. They're obviously one of the top teams in the country, but
Do they
they're a
have
team that
Quincinnati though?
they do not have Quincinnati. They don't even know what city they're in. They
Do
play
they
in
have Quincess? Do they have Quincess Leia?
Can confirm they do not.
Right.
So
Yeah.
that is point. That's like two. That's 7 points in our favor already.
Right.
Yeah.
So honestly, with the way our defense has been playing, I mean, we hold Seton Hall to 54 points and completely dominated that game. And Seton Hall's gone out to beat Providence, Marquette, and UConn, all with high scoring performances, and we just shut them down. So transitive points to us. So that's another
Right.
10 points. So we're already up 10 nothing.
Right.
And
So I mean, we're basically already undefeated in the Big East.
there's no dis there's nothing to dispute that. Xavier
Other
is
than maybe St.
100%.
John's, have we beat anybody that beat St. John's?
Let me check the interwebs real quick. Oh, I'm gonna do my research. You guys pop off real quick.
Right.
Let's see. Did we beat Holy Cross this year?
Not literally, no.
Oh, dude. St. John's lost to Dayton, so
Okay.
we're good. I mean,
Okay. And
yeah,
if
Dayton
we
hasn't beat us. Dayton hasn't beat us in a decade.
and
And well,
the last Dayton beat UC, right?
okay.
And then Xavier beat UC. So
So
yeah.
we're even playing field with Dayton.
So Xavier did indeed beat St. John's, yeah.
And if you really want to get deep into this,
I do.
Xavier actually made the Elite Eight last year because
Because
Cincinnati
UC
just
just
beat Texas.
oh no, Texas just beat UC.
Oh,
Yeah.
I got that
Plot
one
twist.
wrong. And you know what's crazy? I actually bet on Texas and won. And I even said
Happy money day, Kenny. Happy
it wrong.
payday.
Happy payday, baby. I bet on it just as a troll. I won like $8.40.
Okay, that's big time.
Right. And just so everybody knows, I had said on Twitter, and I will not be revealing it now. I had said on Twitter that I know who's going to win the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
I'm not telling anybody because I don't want to be considered a jinx and I don't want people to think I'm crazy. But so I placed a bet. It's a small bet, $5, just to show proof of who I think is going to win the Super Bowl. And when I'm right, I'm going to need a lot of praise coming my way from the Twitter sphere.
And you've
When the
not, you're not
Cincinnati
revealing.
Bengals raise that trophy.
I'm not revealing it until after either the team that I think is going to win loses or they win the Super Bowl.
Gotcha. Baltimore. It's purple like the Vikings. I get it.
Time will tell.
Time will definitely tell. But back to this Xavier and UConn game. Obviously, it's going to come down to rebounding. Here's a good quote that Sean Miller had about rebounding. Especially defensively, he says it's priority number one, it's priority number two, and it's probably priority number three. When the shot goes up, this is not the conference for the weak and timid, the small and frail. End quote. So, all
So
top
does
three priorities is defensive rebounding.
that mean that it's definitely priority number one, definitely priority number two, but a 50-50 chance that it's priority number three?
Yeah, he says it's probably priority
Okay.
number three.
Okay, and I
So
know a lot about probability.
Xavier is number three in the Big East right now for offensive rebounding. They're number three in the Big East for defensive rebounding. And now this is the kicker. They're number two. Oh, rebounding is as a whole. Can you
Really?
explain that one to me, Coop?
No, I can't actually. I don't know. I don't do public math. I don't really know how that works.
That's like the
But
time that the US rugby team was number one in the country, and all they did all year is come in second place.
yeah, I guess law of average, it's like being number one in the country, number two in your own city type of deal, I guess. But
Xavier, Ohio,
okay.
yeah.
That's interesting, Kenny. I mean, with the defensive rebounding, like I guess that's coming down to you don't want UConn to get as many second chance opportunities since they can score a lot of points and Xavier.
Essentially, UConn's offense is so good that you want to limit their possessions. And honestly, offensive rebounds are huge momentum killers to begin with. So if you can just come out and finish the possession, and that'll give you a higher probability, so a higher 50-50 chance
Right.
that you're going to get a kill if you can finish that possession, force a bad shot, finish the possession, and we like to move fast, get going the other way. We play at a faster pace than UConn, so naturally there's going to be more possessions, so we got to limit them the way that we can. Do
Yeah.
you agree,
I
Kenny?
no, I agree. I think that's going to be a big thing tomorrow. Having Des Claude come out and play like the Des Claude early in the season when he wasn't, he's had a couple games now where you kind of see him, I don't want to say disappear because we keep having this conversation. He's having good games, right? He's putting up good numbers. Is he doing what's best for the team? Is he going to be doing what's best for the team tomorrow to give them a chance to win? That could be him scoring 25 points, but that could also be him being a floor general, kind of controlling the game a little bit, putting people in good spots, taking what's given to him, and not forcing things. And you know, if Quincy comes out and he can, you know, he can pop off and go for 27. I mean, I don't think that there's any reason to completely discount Xavier out of this game.
Oh,
And UConn's
100%.
number four in the country. That's so wild.
It is. I think right now, I think I saw it on FanDuel.
Now, what are they in their
UConn's
own
a.
city?
I don't know if there's another city in Connecticut. I think there might just be one.
I thought they were in New York.
It's like their fifth
They
borough.
act like MSG is their home court, so.
Yeah. I've just lost my train of thought. Oh, UConn's a 4.5 point favorite, I believe, which is kind of crazy when you look at Xavier being 7-7, UConn being number four in the country, and it being a 4.5 point swing. I mean, I guess if there's one thing, UConn does give up some points. They gave up 81 to Butler over the weekend. Xavier, like, it's really going to come down to Quincy, I'd assume. UConn's perimeter defense is not great, so that definitely is an advantage towards Xavier. If Quincy can get cooking, maybe Trey Green gets some more time and he
Yeah.
starts hitting some shots. I mean, I like you said, Kenny, I could see UConn just having their way with Xavier and getting an easy win, but I think it's going to be competitive. I think Xavier's going to be in the game more than they're not. I'm not saying they're going to win, but I think that they can hang with them.
So UConn is taking five more threes a game than Xavier, but their percentages are almost like, I mean, Xavier's 33.3. I'm assuming that's repeating. And then UConn is 34%. So, I mean, they're taking more. I mean, that's where that point differential is coming from. I'm trying to see. Man, I don't know. It's just so the stats just don't look right sometimes. Like Xavier's shooting 61 shots a game, and they're, you know, in the bottom tier of scoring. They're number three in shots attempted, and they're in the bottom tier of score. Like that,
We really
something's
just
not
have not
making
been an
sense there.
efficient. We have not been an efficient offense a lot of the
Not
year.
now, but when we've had games where we could be efficient on offense, that's when you're seeing us play really well because our defense has generally been there, other than St. John's really, and parts of the Oakland game, important parts of the Oakland game, is when you really saw our defense not show up, but. I really think that in both of those instances and against Delaware, in all three of those instances, it was more Xavier kind of just quitting rather than it being their lack of ability to play defense.
Which there's a big thing that we have not had a lot of the past few years, and it's a big game, and we have big game Sean Miller. There's not many coaches better at getting your team ramped up for a big time contest than Sean Miller is. He's gonna have these guys
Dude,
ready. These are gonna be
I think I've
connect.
told this story. I don't know if I've told it to you guys or if I told it on a podcast. It may have been one of the first podcasts I did with you guys. But Coach Miller had this saying, and he like, no matter what team we were playing, if it was a big team, if it was like a team that we were supposed to beat, whatever, he would be like, hell yeah, it's a big game because we're playing in it. And like that's just like his mentality, man. He's such a He knows how to motivate guys so much, especially if guys are really buying into the program and buying into the system and all that stuff and have faith in him. It's crazy, man, how he can really just take a group of guys and just get them ready to run through a wall. I don't know about these guys yet. It's still too early to tell. I think that as they all start to develop and, you know, grow in the system and whatever, I think that you'll start to see that part of them show through because Miller is just he's just the best at it. He knows how to get the most out of guys. And I always love that quote. Hell yeah, it's a big game because we're playing in it.
And
I love that.
he would say that as we're in the Atlantic 10. Now it's we're in the Big East. We're actually moving towards a big time program. I mean, we're a nationally known program, whereas his first stint we weren't, and he still had that mentality. That mentality is probably 10 times the size now,
Right.
which is only going to get better for us.
Yeah, big game coming up. I think I'll eat some Coney's at the game for sure. Big game Coney's. Speaking of Coney's, I was on the phone with Andy just before the podcast and asked him if I should get some pregame Coney's. or drink a protein shake, because I had already had one dinner, but I was kind of feeling a second. And he said they're completely different things. It's a completely different experience because the protein shake, you're just drinking it like milk. And speaking of milk, I went to Meijer earlier today to get a gallon of milk. And what they had was 1 gallon left of 2% milk. It was the final 2%, which
Oh.
is also the name of the Xavier NIL Collective. And the final 2% is making a huge change in Xavier athletics, especially basketball right now. NIL is the biggest thing in college sports. Obviously, the more money a college has, the better the programs are going to be. It's just how it is. And the final 2%, you can just straight up donate money. Kind of think of it as a subscription, each month, and you can get some perks that come with it. So if you can give $50 a month, cool. If not, give 25. If you can't do that, I mean, give $10 a month. I mean, that's like a trip to Starbucks. That's like what you tip at Great Clips, like $10 a month. UC in Texas, which Kenny, Texas just won that game. That game was on ESPN Plus. UC fans are having to pay like $11.95 a month just to watch their games, which the Texas game's the biggest home game they've had all year, and they had to pay $12 just to watch it. So, I mean, we don't have to do that. We're on FS1 or Fox or CBS Sportsnet like every single game. So just think about that. UC fans are spending money to watch the games on TV. You could be giving to NIL. You could be giving to the final 2% and making a difference with Xavier Athletics.
Instead of spending that money on ESPN Plus, you can help buy us a five-star recruit.
Yeah, you really could. I mean, maybe it leads to like I don't know, like,
DeAndre Ayton Jr.
man, he's getting that old.
And that old. He's two, I think he's like three now.
Maybe we get Bronny James from the transfer portal. Who knows? But if you want to donate, if you're able to, go to final2%.com. That's final, the number 2%, which is PERCENT.com. Give some money.
And I know that they said that they just announced that $500,000 match
500.
too. So everything you give right now up to that 500,000 is going to be, it's going to have double the impact. So I mean, it's a
Which is 2 5-stars.
probably.
maybe.
It's just crazy that, so that's what that $500,000 match meant. I read that, I'm like, man, that must start one hell of a fire. Yeah, if I'm paying $500,000 for a match,
Yeah, right.
I better set a forest on fire.
hey, if that's going to cut down
Hey,
trees for me,
get rid of
I'm
those
all
trees,
for it.
man.
We've got to.
That's all about efficiency, which is exactly what Xavier's offense needs to be on tonight at
Right,
8:30.
yeah, right.
Exactly.
What is, how long ago was the final 2% started? I just started hearing about them like maybe a month ago. Is this something that's been around for a little while? Do we know that?
Let me try to find out.
I'm gonna look and see on Twitter when they made the Twitter account.
That's exactly what I was going to do as well.
Oh, is it?
So we are
Well,
intelligent people.
you're quicker than me.
November of 2023 is when the Twitter account started, but I mean there's promo videos from Sean Miller and everyone's talking about the difference you can make. So NIL
And I
being
think that it's kind of
relatively the
interesting
same,
too,
but
because the Xavier fan base is, it's, you know, we don't have, the Xavier fan base isn't as big as some other fan bases, but I think that, you know, having sort of this grassroots way to earn money. I mean, you obviously have like the NIL store and all those different things. You can go get yourself a Quincinnati shirt, stuff like that. Like that, all that little stuff in the end of the day builds up. And it's just not that crazy if you have, you know, 10, 20, 30,000 people that are willing to give, you know, between $10 and $100, the impact that that can make. I mean, there's 10,000 people coming to every single Xavier game. Like
yeah.
each one of those people gets $50, and I mean, you're talking about $500,000. Like
And
that's a
that's getting
huge
matched.
impact that could, huh?
And that's getting matched.
And that's getting matched. Exactly. They should just do like church and walk around with a collection bucket. at the
That's not a
game.
bad idea. That's a good idea, Kenny.
Or we should do that and then not pocket any of it.
Maybe we start, I mean, like even the like the 50-50 that they do it that they do at games and stuff, like if they started throwing a portion of that into an NIL fund, like there's so many ways to earn money. And then obviously you have your giant donors that are just going to throw money at it anyway. So like just being able to hit it from both of those angles, the small donations and the giant donations that we know. I mean, there's some people at Xavier with a lot of money. Well, some people that graduated from Xavier, I should say.
Yeah, we can absolutely do that collection basket. We already have ushers.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and while they're, taking offering, Andy, you're running on the court begging for money, like getting everyone fired up about it. Like go
Right.
donate to the final 2%. Maybe instead of a Gatorade bath, whoever donates the most money, we get 2% milk and then we dump that on them. I
There
think
you
that
go.
would be a nice little perk of donating.
Yeah.
Just an idea.
Yeah, I agree.
Who
I
doesn't love
agree.
getting doused with milk?
Yeah, final 2%. Check them out on Twitter, the
They
website.
also give out a weekly newsletter.
Yeah,
So
definitely
subscribe to
subscribe to
that.
that. It has nothing to do with our name being mentioned or anything. Just subscribe to it. It'll be well worth it.
We would never be that shameless.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Speaking of not being shameless, we have a stream that we're going to do on Saturday against Providence, not to look ahead of the UConn game or anything like that, but we should be streaming with the Sean Miller pod against the Providence Friars, 2 p.m. It'll be on our YouTube. It'll be on our X, formerly known as Twitter. How many did we get, Kenny, for the Villanova game on Twitter? It was
I
quite a
think we
bit.
ended up with like 3,500 views on it. And now, I mean, I know the views on Twitter are a little bit different because I don't know if you actually have to open it, but that's how many people saw that we were streaming. But I think, I mean, at one point we had more people in the Twitter than on the YouTube. So, I mean, we probably ended up having, I would say, 300 or 400 different people that were in there at one point or the other. The people that have been coming in on YouTube. We have some regulars in there that really stayed the whole game, but there are definitely some people that just pop in, say hi, talk about it. We actually had a Villanova fan pop in that, I can't remember who it was. I think it was Wet Sean Miller or Ahmad or somebody was trying to get him banned. I will have that ban hammer ready if we ever need it, but they were pretty civil.
Love it. The streaming's been a lot of fun though, so we'll definitely continue to do that and be sure to follow along on our Twitter and everything like that. We'll be doing some big giveaways that you won't want to miss. And yeah, that's all I'll say right now about that.
Yeah.
But what we can do right now is open up the mailbag. We have five questions, fellas,
Are they all from
and
the same person?
they might be. And it's the mailbag. I mean, we may as well just go straight to him for all of these. His name's Ian Featherstone. Yeah, I texted him and I said, Ian, I need five, just five. Usually he'll send like 15 to 24.
Don't have the energy for that.
So yeah, just for the sake of time, we're doing five questions. So let's get it started. Question number one, you're stuck in a cave alone. What body part are you cutting off first to eat, Andy?
What body part am I cutting off first to eat?
Yes.
I'd probably cut off. I mean, if I'm that starving, there's really no use in being able to walk. So I'll probably cut off the meatiest part of me. And that would be my hamstring.
I'm glad that's what you said.
I mean, I guess that I need a little bit more context here from Ian. I mean, is there the chance that we're actually getting out of here?
He didn't specify. I would say imagine worst case scenario, you're pretty much doomed. There's no chance.
I mean, if
Maybe
you're eating yourself, then you're probably Maybe they'll. On your last leg.
Well, how long? Nice. I mean, like, how long can you go with just eating yourself before there's nothing left to
And then
eat?
you're dead.
You know, maybe Kenny, maybe imagine like you somehow know it's like, yeah, we're sending a rescue team, but it's going to take them 2.5 months to get there. So you do have to start eating like some of your body parts.
Oof. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I
I
guess.
got nothing. I got nothing. I mean,
Congratulations, Ian. You stumped Kenny.
yeah.
Yeah, I
I
mean,
mean,
I.
I would say that I don't know, the leg, I guess.
Yeah, the
That would have
leg.
to be, I can get a prosthetic leg. I wouldn't want to lose my hands. For a second, I was thinking like my ass cheek, just like
I was.
lay that off.
Yeah,
Lot of
yeah.
fat, though.
Yeah, I think I would probably cut off my tongue and eat that. I think there's a lot of protein in the tongue, and in some cultures that's like a what do you call it? Like something that's
A
they
delicacy.
a delicacy. Yeah. In some cultures tongue is like a real delicate thing. So I'd probably cut that off. And reason being, like that might keep me, I don't want to say full, but it'll keep me okay for like a couple days maybe. But then I won't have to taste anything else. So then I can just start cutting off whatever I want and not have to taste it. So I think it's more of a strategic thing. But the tongue I think is coming off first for me.
I think the bigger problem that we have here would be water than food, but that's a
I
whole
don't drink
nother.
water anyway.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I guess I'll just cry, you know what I mean, and then drink.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Way to
Okay,
get some sodium too.
next question is, if you could choose one animal, real or fictitious, to be your trusty companion in the medieval times, what would it be? And then in parentheses, Ian adds, don't be a bitch and say a dragon.
Dragon? That's not where I was going.
Yeah, so it
I
has to
think,
be an animal, real or fictitious, and you're in the
yeah.
medieval times.
I'm going to pink penguin.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
My immediate thought was a gorilla. I think that would be sick. You just like walk
Well,
around
then
everywhere
someone
with
just
a
shoots
gorilla.
them in a zoo.
What's that?
Well, then someone just shoots them in a zoo, and then you're gone.
No, there were no zoos then, so we're fine.
Oh, okay, fine. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, this is pre-zoo good.
Yeah. I'm my first thought was a gorilla, and then I went to lion, and then I went to the next thing I thought of was like a T-Rex. That would be pretty sick, like especially if you could ride it somehow.
Yeah.
Put
I would
like a
just want the
little,
experience of riding a T-Rex to begin with.
yeah, you just put like a you put a little basket in front of it. You don't want to be on the back of the T-Rex. You want to be on a
Right.
basket in the front. I think that would be pretty sick. Maybe a brontosaurus, just like riding around 20, 30 feet in the air. You have a little like ladder that comes down and you get off. He picks you up with his head and you slide down his neck.
Okay.
Huh.
You did mention basket, but that kind of reminded me. It's a bucket list item to ride in the pouch of a kangaroo.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
I might go to Australia just to experience that.
Huh.
That will not go poorly at all.
That would be.
Yeah. Well, I
That
guess if
would
you're
be.
talking about a fictitious animal, it could just be a really big kangaroo that you can fit inside his pouch.
That see now we're
Yeah.
cooking.
Yeah.
See
Although
my.
I'm thinking there's some motion sickness going on there. It's not a smooth ride.
Yeah,
I'll just take some Dramamine.
Andy kind of strikes me as a guy that might like a little bit of a rough ride. But I think my companion would be probably Clifford, the big red dog, because if there's like like the Clash of Clans type of thing where like a army comes up with a bunch of swords. I've never played the game. It just seems like that's what happens. Clifford just steps on them because Clifford's paw print's probably like a mile. You know what I mean? So He takes
Was he
out
that
a
big?
dude. Huh?
Was he that big?
It seems like he's fictitious. You know, he can be whatever size. It depends on
Comparative to other red dogs, then yeah, his paw print's a mile.
Yeah, I feel like we
Yeah.
really missed out on an opportunity here to have something that flies.
Yeah, a fictitious JJ the jet plane. He was fictitious.
Yeah,
I'm
that's a good
not,
one.
I don't know if he identifies as animal. And then I
Yeah,
was also
maybe like a giant eagle, a bald eagle.
okay,
But
yeah.
then people would
Like
make
the
fun of his
eagles from Lord of the
hairline.
Rings.
Okay, yeah,
That
that
would
could
be
work.
sick.
What about Andre the Giant?
Andre the Giant. I'm bigger than him, so
Really?
yeah.
Huh. Okay,
They
well.
had, if you actually looked that up, I had this conversation the other day, or like a couple years ago, while I was on vacation with one of my wife's cousins. If you look up how tall he was, like the answers range from like 6'4" to 7'6". Like
Really?
nobody really knows.
Time will tell.
Because they, when you look it up, they a lot of times they give you his WWF height, which is like they had Hulk Hogan listed at like 7'2".
And he's what, like 6'5"?
Yeah, maybe.
So at the time of his death, Andre the Giant was 6'10".
Yeah, that's right in the middle of
So did he grow or shrink?
the estimates that I've seen.
And then he died in 1993, and then Ariana Grande was born just a few days later.
Yep.
So reincarnation confirmed. Next question is you and one other person versus Peter Griffin and the chicken fight to the death. Who is the other person you're picking? I actually was going to pick Andre the Giant, but he's not really that much of a giant, so I'm picking Kenny.
Nice. Nice.
All right, so
I think, you know what? I'm just gonna pick a nice, easy answer here, and I'm gonna go with like Sean O'Malley, you know, just like a real wire. Like I have the brute force. I need somebody with that wiry, like,
okay, yeah, I get it. The elusiveness and the wits and
right.
oh, okay. I'm actually gonna go back to the last question. The trusty sidekick. How do we not think of an Alaskan bullworm?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. That thing probably could swallow Clifford.
And that's the criteria we meet. Okay, now back to the current question. One person, real or fake?
He didn't say, well, Peter Griffin is
Peter
real.
Griffin's real, but I mean, I've never seen a fighting chicken.
Yeah, I guess just you, yeah, it could
You've never
be.
seen that episode?
Well, I have seen the episode, but it was a fictional episode based on
Oh,
a real
gotcha.
person.
I would say pick
Gotcha.
someone in the middle of real and fictitious.
Okay, so I will go with any being that Michael Vick trained.
Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
That works. This one's related to all of that. What is your favorite Xavier intro song ever?
Xavier intro song, like could it be the song that I walked out to?
I think so. That counts
The
for
Party in the USA by Miley Cyrus.
I respect
Nothing gets
it.
the crowd going like that song. Nothing.
That's true. I'd say yeah, the younger crowd likes that. It's kind of like the like older people love the like when YMCA comes on or something.
Shout.
Oh yeah, Shout or the Jump by what is that, Aerosmith or something?
That's wait.
Mambo number
Jump?
five.
Mr. Brightside.
Oh, Mr. Brightside, yeah. You know, I
What
like
was
that
that?
song,
It
but
wasn't a Xavier
yeah.
one, but they played it a lot when I was over in Germany. That I'm the Man song.
Oh
You know
yeah.
that
Oh, by
song?
Aloe
That was a
Black.
good one. That was a
Yeah.
good one.
One that
You can
I
tell
always
everybody.
found wild is it's played, but the Baltimore Orioles play. It's called Dancing on My Own, which is a very sad song. And they play it after wins and everybody goes ballistic.
What sport's Baltimore Orioles?
Rectangles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's Cal Ripken, right?
Yes,
Yeah.
yes.
Yeah.
I
All up
guess
here.
the my favorite Xavier intro song would, I mean, it's a recency bias, and it also is the bias of the fact that Wonderwall can is terrible. But we're gonna be friends, like morphing into Tremor. It just gets me going every single time.
Yeah. I mean, does the hatred, like, that'd be my obvious answer. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I left that answer for Kenny, but then he went with Party in the USA, which is mad respect.
Well,
But
yeah.
it caught me off guard.
Man, I wish we would have answered that question last so we could just like jump right into the hatred. But we have one more question. Best toppings for a hamburger. Include your choice of cheese if cheese is on your list, as well as condiments. Andy, what are you putting on a burger? Your dream burger.
All right, I'm a little weird.
Yes.
So obviously I got the bun.
Don't say hamstring meat.
I got the patty. I have zero human muscles. Then I love onion on my burger, so I'll have some chopped onion. I throw some jalapenos on there.
Okay.
So but in the cheese, I do add that. I just got some basic American cheese, and I am in this world that is un it's like kind of undescribable, but some people may call it heaven. Think I'm in that.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going with the double burger, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Pepper jack cheese in between the burgers and then on top of the burger. And then I got bacon, onion. And this is more of a what I'm in the mood for type thing, but either mayonnaise and ketchup or barbecue sauce. Not mayonnaise and barbecue sauce, mayonnaise and ketchup or barbecue sauce.
Okay.
And that's where I'm at.
Gotcha. I think with mine, definitely a double burger. One of the most underrated burger toppings or condiments, I think, is steak sauce. If you ever put like some
Yeah,
A1 and some mayo
that
on
does
there,
hit.
oh, it
You
hits.
like the little onion petals, the like
See,
fried onion petals?
I like onions. They don't like me, so I can't really eat onions. But that's one route I'd go is like just steak sauce and mayonnaise, and then some American cheese. If not, if I'm like at a cookout, I'd say probably pepper jack if it's available to spice it up, some fresh tomatoes, some lettuce, some mustard. I'd probably get some bacon and put it on the side, throw it away, just to prove a point. But yeah, I'd say that's my burger. And if the bun is a little bit like toasted, you know what I mean? Like you throw that on the grill just to get a little crispy. Yeah, that's where it's at.
Yeah, I mean, I say all of that, but you know, if somebody just throws like double smash burger with American cheese and literally nothing else, I'm
Oh
still down for that too.
yeah. Oh yeah. Where's the best burger, like fast food burger? Where's your what's the top one for you?
Swenson's.
Yeah, I just had two galley boys, like I think it was last night.
Yeah, Swenson's is legit.
The day
It's
I found out that I worked near a Swenson's was probably a top 30 day in my life.
yeah.
Yeah.
Swenson's is legit. I think like I mean I know that I'm gonna get hate for this, but like Five Guys, it's a great burger, but it's not up there for me. In
Five
and
Guys
out.
is never worth it to me because it's
Yeah.
always super expensive. And if I DoorDash it, it's an extra $40.
Right.
And
Yeah, I
then,
mean, just donate to Final 2%
yeah,
before you do
right.
that.
Think of how many 5-star recruits I can get for one Five Guys burger.
Yeah.
I think from now on, instead of like doing a roundup for St. Jude's, we round up for Xavier
Final two
NIL.
percent.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, am I crazy?
you know, everyone has their priorities. You know, that's what I'm gonna
I
say. You know,
can
I don't
guarantee
know.
you'll get more people to donate.
I mean,
Least regionally.
regionally, yeah.
I don't think it's gonna work out. It's not gonna work too well in Clifton, you know, like, do you wanna round up for the Xavier NIL? But, you know, Garrido Burrito. And you might be making like 14, 15 bucks a night.
And I'm sure that we have a lot of alumni in Chicago. So we'll hit the Chicago market. We have one alumni in Seattle. So
At least
we gotta
one.
hit the Seattle. We have to hit the Seattle market.
Right. We
Yeah.
gotta for that one person out of like 7 million, we gotta at least have the option available for him.
Anyways, maybe they won't know what they're talking about. Like maybe if we have that at say like a Waffle House, then they will be so blitzed at 3 in the morning that they'll be like, yes, I'll donate to the Xavier basketball NIL. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah,
True.
I probably would, yeah.
I think that's entrapment.
I don't really know. I don't know what the legal term is, but I do know it would possibly get more money, which I'm all for.
We call
Yeah, I
that
mean,
recruiting.
I know that I saw a video one time at a casino. This guy was so drunk he couldn't even pick his head up off the table, and they were like moving his hand to help him write a check so that he could borrow money, get money out, and keep gambling at the casino. I mean, if they're allowed to do that, we should be
Then,
able to hit the 3 a.m. Waffle House
yeah,
crowd.
because
at that point, like it's their hand, like it's their muscle moving to give us the money,
Right.
so there can't be anything illegal. We're just taking advantage of them.